ദൈവം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരണേ നിർവിശേഷൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശകാരണേ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭോ നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാം 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാം 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാം 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാം 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാം 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ സോ അർജുന ഉവാച സ്ഥിതപ്രജ്ഞസ്യ കാ ഭാഷാ സമാധിസ്ഥസ്യ കേശവാ സ്ഥിതദീഖിം പ്രഭാഷേത കിം ആസീത പ്രചേത കിം. And in reply to that, Krishna says, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Prajahadiyada kaman sarvan parthamanogadan atmanye vatmana tushta stira prajnyastado chyade. So we saw yesterday when Arjuna asked this question about the nature of a stira prajnya, one whose intelligence is, Prabhupada has translated, is consciousness's merged in transcendence. That's what the word is translated here. in the word by word translation, Prabhupada says siddha prajnasya means of one who is situated in fixed Krishna consciousness. And in the translation of the verse, he said that what are the symptoms of one whose consciousness is merged in transcendence. So we saw that a person whose consciousness is merged in transcendence, he has no other, he is in a self-realized state, in other words. That's what it means. That self-realization means siddha prajnatvam. His prajna is fixed. It doesn't waver anymore. So, siddha prajna. So, what I mentioned also yesterday, that the knowledge that comes through the mind, intelligent senses, that's ordinary knowledge. The knowledge which cannot come through that, but it is experienced by us in the consciousness, that is known as prajna. That knowledge which cannot come through mind, intelligent senses, but it is experienced by the self, that means, in other words, self is in its pure form, is manifesting in a person, and that is known as prajna. So, in the Vedanta philosophy, they'll use this word very often, prajna. Prajna Shuddhi, they call it. That means, depending on the purity of the consciousness, we will understand the higher activities of the soul, what is discussed in the Upanishads. So, here we have seen that Krishna also mentioned about that svalpamapyasya dharmasya trayade mahato bhayad. Even great distress in life or great fear in life can be taken away if one has the one has this transcendental knowledge in him. So it is in that connection we came up to this point that Krishna also says there, yasya sthidat bhavet prajna, or this experience of the soul, what we were discussing yesterday, that is mentioned here as the prajna shuddhi. Prajna is discussed in the Shastram very much. Prajna is an important word. So, what does prajna mean? Prajna's definition, if you look at, it is mentioned as the words, yasya sthita bhavet prajna, yasya anando nirandara, prapanjo vismrita praya, sa jivan mukta ishyate. In other words, yasya sthita bhavet prajna, one who has realized the truth, yasya sthita bhavet prajna, yasya anando nirandara, because of that self-realization, always in full knowledge of the soul, or in other words, fully realized state, prapanjo vismrita praya, that he forgets about this world. The world doesn't exist for him. You see, this world, what we refer to as in the Shastram is, generally when we say the world, the external world, what it means, isn't it? So, the existence of the world is due to our existence. Otherwise, this world doesn't exist for us. Isn't it? See, for example, because we are conscious entities, we have consciousness, therefore we are experiencing the world. Suppose there is no consciousness, we don't experience this world. It is only because of the aloke iti lokaha, that is how they say, that according to the vision of the person, he sees the world. The world is experienced by everyone in different ways. Everyone don't see the world in the same way. Whatever we experience in this world is depending on our own vision. Alokya iti lokaha. Loka means the world. Lokam exists according to your vision. Drishti srishti it is called. According to the drishti, the srishti. Creation is according to your vision. So that is why drishti srishti vadam is more prominent. And here, it says here, prabanjo vismrita prayaha. As soon as you lose your identity with the false ego and your identification with the soul becomes permanent, automatically Krishna is saying, prabanjo vismrita praya, we will forget this world. World is not existing. It's all Maya's world. Ultimately, what happens in this world, nobody has any control over it. It is in Maya's control, everything. And therefore, prabanjo vismrita praya, we forget this vismriti. Vismriti means forgetfulness of the prabancham. Prabancham means this creation happens. Visup sa jivan mukta ishyate. Such a person is already liberated. That means his vision towards this world is completely different. Who has almost forgotten the phenomenon universes is accepted a man in the liberated state. Yasya sthita bhavet prajna, yasya anando nirandara, prabanjo vismrita praya, sa jivan mukta ishyate. So that is the symptom of a liberated person. So coming back to this, that the yasya anando nirandaraha, continuously his happiness is there, blissful nature. And there is, that means what? It means that there is no more chitavrti. There is no more thoughts coming through the mind. A continuous flow of happiness. Prabanje vismrita praya. He also forgets about the material creation. As so jivan mukta uchadi. Now, here, the word used is jivan mukta. Some places Krishna uses the word trigunadita. Another place he calls a yogi. Sometimes he's called a devotee. Sometimes he's saying called best among the devotee. Bhagavata uttama. All these are words referring to the same person. Referring to the same person. Only through different experiences they come to this point. And Bhagavadottama means the best among the devotees. In other words, you can also see here, when a devotee comes to the highest position, his attainment at that point is perfect in knowledge, jnananishtha. So when devotee comes to that point, he is perfectly situated in knowledge. Similarly, a jnani, when he comes to the perfection, he is a perfect devotee as well. He is a perfect devotee as well. So that is what it is called in the Bhagavad Gita, if you remember. Brahmabhuta prasannatma na shochati na kankshati sama sarveshu bhudeshu madbhaktim labhade param. Parabhakti comes to him at that point. Krishna says there in the Bhagavad Gita. Such a person is called sthita prajna. Now, a person who is continuously absorbed in the in samadhi or in the yoga state, his description was given now. Now, in the next verse, text 56, how he will conduct his affairs in this world. And in the next verse, Krishna is also saying there, in the vyavahara jivitam means our life in this world outside, when happiness and distress will continuously come, isn't it? That's what the mind experiences. Happiness and distress is the nature of the mind. Anandam or bliss is the nature of the soul. Bliss is the nature of the soul. So in the material world, in our life in this world, we continuously get exposed to happiness and distress. So, if when that happens, a self-realized soul, how he will react to that situation without getting affected by that, that's what is Krishna is going to discuss in the next verse. Dukkheshu anudvignamanaha sukheshu vigadaspraham Vidaraga Vaya Krotha Stidadhir Muniruchadim. Dukeshu and Dvignamanaha Sukeshu Vigadaspraham Vidaraga Vaya Krotha Stidadhir Muniruchade. Translation: one who is not disturbed in mind, even amidst the threefold miseries, or elated when there is happiness, and who is free from attachment, fear, and anger, is called a stage of steady mind. That is the translation. So, Dukeshu Anidvignamana. Let's look at that verse. In the, generally this verse is that the knowledge of the soul or the spiritual existence is for everyone. Nobody is short of that. It is there in everyone. And because we are looking for perfection. Perfection is what we are looking for. There is something in material life we feel, all of us feel that it's not complete, isn't it? And because it's not complete, we are looking for something that we feel is necessary to feel that perfection in life. Purnada, Purnatvam it is called in the Shastram. So this inquiry begins. This inquiry begins outside first time. First time in our activities, then in our happiness, and we try to find this perfection in happiness in the world outside. And the result of all that is this modern material science, what we have now developed. Because we were not satisfied within ourselves, and we were looking for some kind of perfection in life, which we know there's something everyone is looking for in this world. We call it a sugham or happiness. So in that inquiry of happiness, why did that come? Because we felt some imperfection in us, isn't it? Imperfection is this. Otherwise, if we are satisfied within the self, we should not be doing this looking for happiness in this world, isn't it? So the fact that our inquiry has started for finding some happiness in this world, and that happiness, when we don't find, we keep on inquiring, looking for, asking for that. And that resulted in the development of the science. This is what science has come from. So, and this science has developed a lot. And that is a result that ultimately we think that there is something that is missing in life. Isn't it? There's something that is missing in life. And throughout the life we are thinking about it. What is that thing that will make me satisfied? I'm not getting that satisfaction from anything. Even from in the case of scientists or even rich people who have got a lot of wealth, still they have this imperfection in them, isn't it? Very wealthy person, he would think that what happens to me after death? He knows very well that he cannot live the way he is living at the moment, because one day the body will pack up, or body will show its inconsistencies. So in other words, he will realize that he cannot do anything about it. So then he thinks, what is the use of creating all this wealth? I have worked very hard, created all this wealth, but at the end, I can't enjoy it. I can't take it with me. One day, I will leave. I have to go. So there is an imperfection there. You feel that there is something missing there. A person who is famous all over the world, he will also think the same thing. One generation goes, all the fame what he has got is forgotten. Nobody remembers him after that, isn't it? So everything in this world, material acquisitions, material life, is like that. It will come, it will stay for some time, and it will go after that. So therefore, then the scientists, they think that there is something beyond all these things, so they continue the experiments, God particle, and all kind of things what they talk about is coming from that. That there is inquiry going on constantly in the minds of all these personalities. Even if one scientist finds out something, it may not be for everyone. And continuous inquiry goes on. And what we find is, everything that you find out outside this world, outside in the world, and when it comes to the inside, it is all a defeat at the end. It's all a defeat at the end. In the sense that even after inquiring so many generations outside in this world, still inside is not satisfied. There is a dissatisfaction inside. You can see that the material world itself, last say 50 years ago, whatever, we didn't have so many facilities like today, isn't it? Like the modern development in the technology has created a lot of changes in a person's life. A few decades change alone is considerable in what has happened in us. In spite of all that, with all this development, what has happened in front of us, like you can see, for example, like the television, mobile phones and so many other things, traveling to all over the places in the world. If you ask that people who lived 50 years ago were suffering compared to what people are living today, honestly to say, the people today are suffering more than the people who lived 50 years ago. Reason being that you can see that in spite of all this scientific development, we have come to realize that there is something missing inside. There's something that is missing inside, and that is a problem inside. It's a problem inside, and that problem is never addressed. The sages have found out that internally, if there is no satisfaction, happiness inside, that when externally it is not possible, that is where their inquiry started inwards. Inward inquiry started after that. And they were inquiring, is it possible to get that perfection inside rather than outside? Outside it is not possible. They have understood that. So therefore, their inquiry started inwards. In one occasion, in the assembly of scientists, one Swamiji spoke like this. It is from the Upanishads in Shedashvadara Upanishad. It's a famous Upanishad, one of the 10 major Upanishads. From that Upanishad, there is a verse, Yasya Charmavadagasham Veshta Ishinandi Manava Tada Deva Mavijnaya Dukhasyandho Bhavishyati. There is a verse. He quoted this verse in the meeting of the scientists. Yada charmavadagasham veshta yishyandi manava tada devam avijnaya dukhasyandho bhavishyati. This is the verse. What does it mean? It says here, yada charmavadagasham, the sky in the, what you see, the sky, if you can fold this sky, just like you fold a mat on the floor, if you can fold it like that, we could reach the end of pain and grief without realizing God who abides in all these things. If you think that you can fold the sky like we fold a mat, it is like that. It is not possible to do that, isn't it? We know that we can't fold the sky. It is impossible thing, in other words. Similarly, Shedashvara Upanishad is saying, if you think that without realizing God, you can find an end to the pain and grief of this world, then it is to be taken that it is impossible thing. Then, in other words, Upanishads are saying to us, without self-realization, without God consciousness or Krishna consciousness, it is not possible to become happy in this world. Or even to happiness in the sense, some perfection in life is not possible without that. Yada charmavadagasham veshta yishyandi manava tada devam avijnaya dukhasyandho bhavishyati. This is the verse from Shedashvara Upanishad. So here the thing is that the space, you cannot fold it, isn't it? And yada charmavad. So it is like a Upanishad's warning to the modern science. This verse is like a warning to the modern science. How long are we going to keep on inquiring this outside, looking for happiness? How much inventions has to go on happening? Kind of things the scientists and the engineers, they are involved in developing the science and technology. It never seems to come to an end at any time. Never there going to be any satisfaction either from that. It's going to happen to them. So, you know that story in the Srimad Bhagavatam of Vrigasura's story. That Vrigasura ultimately wanted to, he worked very hard. In other words, he performed so much penances to please Lord Shiva under instructions from Sri Narada Maharshi. Narada Maharshi told him, Mrugasura asked Sri Narada Maharshi, who is the best, who is the Lord who gets very quickly pleased? And Narada Maharshi told him to please Lord Shiva, who gets pleased very quickly. So Mrugasura performed some extreme austerities and penances by cutting the flesh from his body and offering in sacrifices to Mrityunjaya, to Lord Shiva. Mrityunjaya homam he has performed. But the homam was so powerful that he was cutting his pieces of flesh from the body and offering into the fire. So when this was happening, eventually when Lord Shiva appeared from him, the first thing he wanted to do was to, he wanted a boon from Shiva, and Shiva offered that boon, what he was asking. The boon was, whoever head I put my hand on, immediately he should die. This was the boon. And Lord Shiva, with a lot of hesitation, offered that. That pastime, you know, in the Bhagavadam, in the 10th canto. So, Lord Shiva immediately, as soon as he got the boon from Shiva, first thing he wanted to try it out, what on? Shiva himself. He wanted to put his hand on Lord Shiva and see if the boon works or not. So, similarly, all these things, what we are creating ourselves, if you think about this in depth, you will see all this development, what is happening today, is eventually coming back to us in some form. Coming back to us in some form and questioning and destroying our own existence. Our own existence. That if you, this doesn't require any Shastric knowledge. You just have to look at the life of the people. And from there, you can see how our own lifestyle, what we have created with the intention of becoming happy in this world, is coming back to us and destroying our very existence in this world. But they will continue these inventions and discoveries in the name of technology and development. That is also a power of the time. Kala Shakti, it is called. And through their intelligence, the kalam, the time is working. Time is working. But actually it is not trying to find fault with them. But what it is that in the middle of all that, there is some clear instructions to us also. Not to get completely distracted by the purpose of life. Why is it like that? Because when you see here, that we at an early age in life, children are trained to take to technology and to develop them a technical mind, or the result of all that is there is more problems in the society. Forget about devotion, forget about liberation, all those things you can leave it. But imagine even the very basics of human life doesn't exist today in the society. The peace at home, the peace with the family life and things like that has completely, virtually disappeared. And the result of that is all sorts of problems are developing in life, at home and in the society as well. Everyone is saying that, why is it happening? Why is it happening? This question, it is baffling everyone, including the leaders. And it results in practically, it develops in the form of selfishness. In the form of selfishness. Education, which cannot even help to solve the basic problems in human life. That's what we have got today, isn't it? Even the issues at home, we cannot solve. Because we are supposed to be educated. We've got a lot of degrees and other things. But when it comes to our own character formation, it hasn't helped at all. What is the use from this education? Plenty of money. Lot of people have got a lot of money, but no relationship anywhere. This is a sad thing. And what is more surprising is the same thing is happening in the temple as well. In spite of all the studying Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam and so many things we are trying to study. Why? Because we are all feeling some emptiness inside. And that's very clear. Plenty of money in the temple also. But there is no relationship with anyone. What an unfortunate situation that we have ended up with. And why is this happening? Because something wrong in our education system. It's very, very clear. And this education goes on like this, what will happen? You will become, virtually we are planning down to the animals level. We can't talk to each other. You can't open your mind to anyone. And there is so much suspicion about everything. Practically, everyone calls each other, you are envious snake, you are envious snake. And this way, this goes on. So, Krishna is saying that this approach in life, thinking that things will get better with technology and all that, we can forget that. That's not going to happen. And the result of all this, more and more problems are developed inside the mind. Inside is the problem. Antarikam. It's called Antarikam. That is why, knowing very well these things, the sages did not recommend to us to develop outside. They say develop inside. All the problem is inside. Strictly speaking, 100%, if you take the 100% of us, body is only 25% of us. The remaining 75% is the subtle body and the karana sharira causal body. That is where most of the activities are happening. In the body, gross body, the problems, what we are trying to solve. We are working with this 25% all the time. The remaining 75% is completely ignored. And that is why Krishna, when Arjuna asked this question, we never asked a cause for this. Why it is happening like this, isn't it? Arjuna's question was, Tidapratnya Sega Bhasha Samadhisthase Keshava. Even Arjuna sensed there that sthitapratnyatvam is a necessity in life. It's not something kept on offer for us, whether you want to take it or not. That is the point. So Arjuna understood that. We did not even accept that. We are thinking that, if it is there, it's good. If not, I'll continue to exist the way I am. But Arjuna's question was, sthitapratnyasya ka bhasha samadhisthase keshava. Arjuna says to Krishna that one who has reached that samadhi state, and whose intelligence is steady, how does he act and how does he speak, and all kinds of things Arjuna has asked him. And we have not even asked what we are living for. We have not even asked that question, isn't it? Arjuna asked the question, sthitapratnya sega bhasha, samadhisthase keshava. We, on the other hand, we are not even asked what purpose we are living in this world. Most of us are like that, isn't it? Most of us are like that. That is the general nature of this world. And this is happening, this emptiness inside is so high, getting worse and worse day by day. You can see even among the so-called spiritually absorbed people, they are finding this vacuum developing inside. And that vacuum will develop. You can't blame anyone for that. Why? Because there is no development inside. It's all outside. All the time busy with the world outside. And we keep on busy with that, and inside is empty. Inside is empty. Knowing very well, the sages told us that this will only bring you unhappiness at the end. It will become worse. The crisis will get worse from this. So, samadhisthasya keshava, that astidhadi kim prabhasheda kim asita vracheta kim. So, it's this very foundation, people who are thoughtful, they will know what is happening in the outside, how it's affecting them. They will guard against it. That's all you can do. You may not be able to change the world, but generally the Kala Shakti is working through the intelligence of the people. And that's why when our intelligence is misguided, misdirected, then it will go in a way which you cannot do anything about it. Like this it is. But through knowing well how the society could be happy, peaceful within themselves, then the only answer to that is Krishna saying that Kala Shakti will work through the intelligence. There is no solution to that. Sometimes parents go send their children for higher education to different places. After they forget that they never they had the time to look into the internal needs of a person. Internal needs of a person were never taken care of. The person gets educated sometimes due to his karma also. He does very well in his education. And then he reaches a stage where he finds that everything is linked with money. So in that process he ends up somewhere to get a high power job or business or whatever he does. and gets busy with that the rest of their life. So once it so happened that a child went to America and he was working there and making a lot of money from there. So the father felt very proud. Father felt, I have done my best for my son. He has done everything very well. He's doing well and all. So they come back to see a devotee who lived in the village. And devotee was, naturally they had some connections. The father had some connection with this devotee. So the father, when the son comes back from America, he brings the son to this devotee and says to the devotee that my son is living in America and he works there and he earns a lot of money there, he says. So at that time the son said to the father, wait a minute, he said. The son says to this devotee, he says, it's all true, that's a lot of money I'm making in America, but my life is like a dog, he says. In the morning when I get up, two slices of bread, I put it in the mouth, biting it, I drive the car to the work. This is my life there, he said. It's not only America, it's modern society is like that. America is of course the friend of everybody, but virtually this is what is happening. That we, he is saying, the son is a little bit started thinking already, if this is what life is all about, that I'm making so much money, but my life is such that I can't even eat properly during the day. In the morning, I put this sandwich in my mouth, and because I don't have time to sit and eat properly, I start driving the car because I have to go a long way. So he says to this devotee, the life is like a dog. I live like a dog. I'm making a lot of money there, but my life is like a dog. The dogs you have seen, how they wander around. In India you will see the street dog. As soon as they get something to eat, they'll put it in the mouth and run away to somewhere else to eat it, because other dogs will come and take it away from him. So that life, dogish life, has developed. Why is that developed? Because that is, we never asked this question. In the society this question never came up. That even the very basic things, very basic things have not been addressed to. We forgot to ask this question, what the life is meant for. We all follow the society. What the society tells us, we keep on doing that. Now, one very important question we've forgotten to ask. What is that? What is the purpose of this life? That question we never asked. Where you came from, where are we going, what is the goal, all these questions, what is our adhishtanam? Adhishtanam means the source, from where have we come? This question never came up. And where do we will get this perfection? Where do we get this perfection? In Panchadashi, there is a book, Panchadashi, written by Vidyarani Swamiji. In that book, he says there, if a question is asked to a jnani, a realized soul, that about the same thing, how are you? If you ask that jnani, his answer will be, what will be the answer? It says the words there, dhanyoham, dhanyoham, dhanyoham. I am completely dhanyam. Dhanyada means I have that perfection inside, totally satisfied inside. So satisfaction is not dependent on any of these things. Either on the material happiness or material perfections won't bring happiness inside. Jnani's answer is dhanyoham, dhanyoham, dhanyoham. I am satisfied, I am satisfied, I am satisfied. In other words, desires have gone from inside, spiritual realization has taken its place and is feeling satisfied with that. Suppose somebody asks us that question, what we will answer? Our answer will be more or less like this, it's going on like that. That will be our answer. Because we don't have any other answer to give. There is no dhanyada inside. We can't say like that. Jnani will say dhanyoham, dhanyoham, dhanyoham. We are not dhanyada. Dhanyada is not. The word used in Shastram is dhanyada. Dhanyada means a perfection inside, a satisfaction. No more desiring anymore. So, a person, he is complete. Perfection is already there. That is not outside. So perfection, what we are looking for, is not to be looked for outside. It is not possible. Outside, perfection is not possible. Perfection is always inside. Perfection is always inside. That means, even spiritually realized people, if you see, even For example, all the great personalities who are spiritually very advanced, if you look at them, you will see that their perfection was inside, not outside. Their body, they will get the same problem like we all do. Their body will get diseased, old age will disturb them, disturb their body, and eventually death will happen. But what is the difference between them and us? The difference is this, that their perfection is there inside. Inside there is perfection. that happiness or blissful nature, sandushti, atmani atmanatushti, Krishna says, isn't it? Because that perfection is inside, they are not looking for any perfection outside. They are not looking for perfection outside. Outside, they left it to the material nature to manage it. Whichever way material nature handles our material body, whatever happens to the body, they have already understood or they have accepted it that body is a part of the material nature. And it is impossible to become perfect in the platform of the body, on the bodily level. So, that perfection inside is more important. Perfection inside is more important. Manaschegnaleknam gurorengripatme tadakkim 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 tadakkim. There is a verse in the prayers to the spiritual master. Manascherna legnam gurorangri patme. If our mind is not attached to the spiritual master and to Krishna's instruction seriously, manascherna legnam, if there is no connection with that, tadakim, 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 what will happen, what will happen, what will happen? What's the use in other words? So, people are thinking that happiness, especially in the youth, when it is told that making a lot of money, a good family life, wife, children, this has the goal of life, and only the intelligent one have managed to escape from that. As you know that in the history, Lord Buddha's case. Buddha's parents, he was a very rich person, Lord Buddha's parents were a king, isn't it? So Siddhartha's father was a very rich person. And he was a king. So he constructed 3 bungalows for the son. He didn't want the son to experience any distress in this world, thinking that in order for him to become a king later, he wanted to train him up in the happiness of the world. So he was training him up like that and allowed him to live in these 3 palaces for 3 different weather seasons, for summer, winter and the rainy season. And in these 3 seasons, these 3 different palaces were built for him. And there was an indication from his chart, from his horoscope, that there is a possibility that Lord Buddha will take to sannyasa ashram. In other words, renunciation, not changing clothes, but becoming sannyasi's mood was already there in his charts. So knowing very well his father wanted to change that, his destiny. For that he constructed these palaces and everything and did not want didn't want him to associate with the world too much. Because if he experienced the distress of this world, that's when many people turn to sannyasa ashram, isn't it? When they experience the distress of this world. He didn't want that to happen. But the fact is that inside him, the Purva Vasana in Lord Buddha's case also was such that there was some unhappiness inside. There was some unhappiness inside. It was by chance that he went outside once and he saw what was happening in the world outside. He saw the people were getting sick. He saw people getting old and he saw also people dying. So these 3 things, the old age, disease and death, he saw happening outside. Immediately he started thinking, will this not happen to me? Will this not happen to me? As soon as this thought gone in, immediately effect of that was that he wanted to wanted to find out the solution for the problem. It is then that his inquiry has begun. That Vyoga Bhayam, he says about that. And when he was asked by others that why one should give up everything and go away like this, he says, where is the guarantee that in this world you can be happy? That's not possible. There's no possibility of becoming happy here. So that was Lord Buddha's realization from a very early age. And what is the use of being an emperor of a place where you have not even sure about your own survival there? So all these questions he asked. And they also asked the question that why, what has actually frightened him about this world? Buddha's reply was that the death what I see outside, that is happening to everyone. Nobody seems to escape from that. And if it is so, where is the guarantee that I will be protected? When he saw people are getting distressed due to illness, he also saw the same thing again and mentioned about it. So somebody said to him that you are the son of a big king, an emperor, and he has got so much material comforts. Why did you give up all these things? Buddha's answer was, when the house is on fire, when the house is on fire, what should one do? Will you stand there thinking about it or looking for a solution, thinking about the solution? Immediately you have to act. That was Buddha's reply. When the house is on fire, you don't wait. You act straight away. So similarly, Buddha's answer, in other words, was that when I know that there is old age, there is death, there is disease going to happen to this body, what is the point in me waiting for anything? What is the need to wait for anything? And that is what forced him to take to the path of spiritual inquiry, that take him into that direction. Actually, he was on fire. Buddha was on fire. Fire in the sense that he wanted a solution to the problem. He could not wait anymore. And to giving up his concern, giving up our comforts in this life is concerned. Actually, there's nothing to be given up also, in the sense that what is required is this inside. There is no need to throw away everything and walk into the forest like the way Lord Buddha has done, because Lord Buddha, Krishna's another incarnation, has come with certain purpose in his appearance. He had certain mission to fulfill, but also had to teach others that the purpose of material human life is not to look for happiness outside, rather the inquiry for the soul. So sometimes people go and ask this question, that should I give up everything and move on to the sannyas? That's not what it is meant by saying that. It's impossible to give up everything and go away. If you give up something and go away, tomorrow you will become another responsibility somewhere else will come. Some other responsibility will come somewhere else. Once a question was asked like this to a sannyasi. Sannyasi left everything, home, and gone away from home. And then he wanted to establish spiritual life in the lives of so many people. They came to him and he established so many mutts and ashrams and all that. But then, along with that, he also had the responsibility to look after them. Isn't it? They've come to him and they've taken his shelter. So he had to look after them. So when somebody asked him that, shall I take sannyas and leave home? He says to him, then don't worry about sannyasam, because that is your prarabdham. If you are meant to live at home and live peacefully within that, live in that way. I took sannyasam and came here. Now what has happened? I gave up one family. Now there are hundreds of families I have to look after. That was his answer. So these things, taking sannyasam and running away, is also not the solution for the problem. Problem is that inside that development, that understanding, that knowledge, that realization that all these things are temporary and this is not the goal of getting absorbed in this, it's not the goal. So, somewhere that this temporary, this knowledge, what is important, is this, that it is temporary. That is the temporary nature of the body. And we are connected with this temporary existence somehow, isn't it? We are connected with this temporary existence somehow. Shastra is telling us, we by our nature is eternal, full of bliss and knowledge. If it is so, why are we suffering like this? The only reason Shastra says is that we are connected with the temporary nature through this body. Through this body. So, if this connection is broken, between our pure identity as the soul and the temporary material nature, if that connection is broken, then we do not have to feel this misery anymore. This is why we are talking about self-realization. That self-realization is important because our misery today is due to our connection with the temporary world, isn't it? Temporary world means Maya's world. So we are connected to this temporary world through what is known as this material body. Material body is that connecting us to this temporary world. So when that temporary world with which we are connected, if that is, that does not exist, that means the body is goes away, then our miseries are also over. That is why self-realization is important. Our miseries are over. Then our distress is the material nature. Distress and us, there is a connection. Where is that connection? It is through the body. Body takes birth, body grows, and then all the six changes, we have talked about it before, that all happens to this body, not to anything else. And we live in this world only on this understanding that I am this body. But that body never says, I am this, isn't it? Body never says like that. Anytime, do we experience that we are this body? Strictly speaking, no. We don't experience that we are this body. As soon as you keep looking inwards and you start seeing and connection with the soul gets established, immediately you can see that something inside, completely different from the body, separated from the body, we exist. We exist in our identity. At no time I can categorically say to anyone that I am this body. I am this body. If you peacefully analyze it, you can see that. Something happens to the body and then we say it's happened to my body. This, my leg, my hand, my arms, whatever, eyes, whatever it is, it's again to my body. So who is that me? That is the question always we have to. And that is when we realize that there is an existence, another veil, another plane. That aham aham, aham asmi, that come. Ashareeshu shareeshu, anavasteshu avasthidam. If you look into Kathopanishad, it is these thoughts that is developing in the form of self-realization. It is developed into self-realization. Kathopanishad says this, that in the, if you look at it there, says that shareeshu avasthidam, it says that that ashareeshu shareeshu anavasteshu avasthidam mahandam vipu atmanam matva dhiro na shochati. It says ashareeshu shareeshu anavasteshu avasthidam, having meditated on the self as bodiless in the midst of bodies, as permanent in the midst of the permanent, and as great and pervasive, the wise man does not grieve. So this thought that I am not this body should be discussed and should be thought very much in detail inside. If not, what will happen is, even while staying inside this body, ashariram shariresu, shariresu avastidam, even though we are inside this body, Upanishads are telling us that one who is thinking all the time that I am not this body, one who is thinking like that, I am not this body, and keeping his own identification as the soul, independent of this body, he says like that, mahandam vibhu atmanam, that he is a great soul because he has understood, he got the point. So, mahandam vibhu atmanam matva dhiro na shochati. Because he is thinking like that, he doesn't lament in life. He doesn't lament in life. Unfortunately, what is happening to all of us is that so many years of identification with the body, we didn't culture this thought inside sufficiently. Therefore, as soon as a little disturbance comes to the body, immediately we get affected by that, isn't it? Disturbances in the body disturbs us. So that is where it is saying, Upanishads are saying that the shari ashariryeshu, that shariram shariryeshu anavasteyeshu avasthitam, that shariram or material body is always, is though existing constantly, the thought inside, I have no connection with this body. If that thought is strengthened, anavasteyeshu avasthitam, that if you are constantly thinking like that, immediately you will recognize that I am not this body. This understanding will become strengthened inside. It will get stronger inside. One person sits in there that he has no body. He has no material body. And he does not know anything about the material body. And in such a situation, he also knows that material body doesn't exist. Just like example, if you cut off the body, part of it, gone, say a leg is gone, or hand is gone, you will see sometimes people without hands, without legs and all that, isn't it? Especially the soldiers who come back from the battlefield, they lose some limbs, and then the rest of their life, they live in that way. And even while living in that condition, they are still thinking, I am existing. Part of the body has gone, that was unfortunate. But if the identification body is very, very strong inside, then the distress, what is coming from that, will also be very high. So, sometimes in their bodhamandalam means in their consciousness, they are not even aware that they have lost a leg. One soldier, when they come back, he went to sleep. And in the sleep, he was not conscious. In deep sleep, he was not conscious that the part of the body has gone in the war, in the battlefield. Only when he woke up, he came to realize that his body wasn't there. To such an extent, we are away from this body that we don't take note of. We are always thinking in terms of the body only. No matter how many times this is spoken again, why it is spoken again and again is this reason only. That the ignorance has been built up over a long period of time inside. So to dismantle that ignorance inside us, we also have to speak for a very, very long time. Only then that ignorance will go from inside. And when we identify that we are not this body, like all the Mahatmas have done, all the great souls have done, immediately you can see that the body will have its own problems. No matter who it is, great devotees, great jnanis, they all had the same problem. We have observed in many, many cases, even Srila Prabhupada's case also, body was withering away, body was giving trouble. Just because he is a pure devotee doesn't mean the body won't get any exemption from that. We all think that sometimes people say, I have so many years I have served Krishna and look at what has happened to me. And so they are thinking that, but Krishna's advice is to us is that on a bodily level, don't expect anything to happen. Body will act in its own way. There's nothing you can do about that. That is because we are not the body. So where is the question of body? We are asking Krishna to do something which is not there in the creation. And that is what it is saying there. Hrudaya kuhara madhye. That means inside the heart, there is something else. That's what we are. And that is soul. That is a soul whom actually our identity is there. Vibhu. So, when you hold on to that identity of the soul, then you can observe the changes that is happening in the body. None of them belongs to us. And all the desires, what is developing inside, is also in relationship with the body. Isn't it? If you think about it, that our whole desires and activities in this world are all in relationship with the body. And is there any desire for the soul? Soul never gives us any desire in that way. How did these desires develop inside? Because everything is in relationship with the body. Everything in relationship with the body. And this is what Krishna is saying there. Prajahari yada kaman sarvan partha manogadan. Again, Krishna is speaking from the spiritual platform. He is saying there, Prajahari yada kaman sarvan partha manogadan. It has born from mind and it is in relationship with the body. It is born from the mind. It is in relationship with the body. What Krishna is trying to tell us, that separate everything inside this unit of what we are. We are a unit comprising the body, the senses, the mind, the intelligence, the false ego, everything. This is whole unit, isn't it? In that whole unit, break it up into different pieces and see each one of them what they do to you. Prajahadi yada kaman. The mind creates all kinds of desires inside. All in relationship with the body. In relationship with the body, the mind creates all the desires. So, the only thing we can pray to Krishna, that the attachment to this body must go somehow. We shouldn't pray to Krishna, get rid of this bodily problem. Attachment to the body from go inside. That should be our actual prayers to Krishna. Not to ask Krishna that I've got this illness, please cure it for me. When we are in deep distress, that's what will happen, isn't it? That we want to get the illness cured. But a jnani or a proper realized soul, a proper devotee, a proper understanding of spiritual life, a person like that, he will never pray to Krishna that he will, his prayers will be like this, that he will never say to Krishna that somehow cure my illness. On the other hand, his prayers will be that my attachment to the body, let that go away from me. Because he knows very well, he me dehamoham, dehamoham. Dehamoham means this attachment to the body. Teja pavana puradi shayal prema hedo dehe vite kalatradisho chaptalpadam vismarandi soyam manne shunova paramiha maradosa ambradam chakshigarna to jihva grey vigarshandi vivasha idimada kopinatvalpadabje. In relationship with this material body, devotee's prayer to Krishna is like this. Teha moham teja, to give up this attachment to the body is very, very difficult. Yal prema heto dehe vite kalatra dishu. What has this body done to me? Body has done to me only one thing. I got very attached to it. Deham vittam kalatram. Vittam means the wealth, and surrounded that is the wife and the children. Kalatra dishu, all of that, along with that, society, family life, and things like that. All of them is covered in that. Dehe vite kalatra dishu. Because it has happened in that way. Tvalpadam vismarandi. I've forgotten about you. Who? The soul inside. I've forgotten about the soul. So, deha moham brings these things. It is an established thing. That deha moham ultimately brings only attachment to all these things. And the result of all that, we are forgotten the soul. Soyam mani shunuva. And in the next part he says, Soyam mani shunuva. This body, what will happen at the end? It will be thrown into the fire to burn. If not, people do different things with the body, isn't it? And some people throw away the body and it is eaten by animals. Shunova paramiha varado, and it has cannot help you anymore at that stage. Why is that? Sa ambradam akshikarna tukjihva grey vigarshandi. While it is there in our control, this body in our control, while it is there, even when you are in a healthy state, all that it does is tukjihva agrey andyagarsh vigarshandi avasha idamada kopinatval padabje. Even while it is under your control, all that the body does is, it drives you in one of these five directions of sense enjoyment. Tukha, jihva. First of all, sense enjoyment from sense of touch. Then tongue and all of the other things. Eyes, ears, nose, all of them. Tukha, jihva, grey, vigarshandi. It crushes you in its own way. Vivashadam adhimada kopinatval padabje. And when you get crushed by the sense gratification or sensual desires inside, in relationship with the body, you become so weak and nobody tells you to think about the soul at that time. Kopinatval padabje. Nobody takes you back to Krishna or to the soul at any time. So, you can see the differences between a materialist and a spiritually realized soul. A materialist, when he has, even if he is religious, when what he will do, he will go to Krishna looking for a relief from the illness. That's what he will do, isn't it? But spiritually, a sthita prajna, or one who is realized, jivan mukta state, one who is beyond the three modes of nature, or a devotee, or a pure devotee, his prayers will not have anything to do with the body. His prayers will be how to free himself from this body once for all. So, all what is required is, at this stage, in Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna is saying, at least to know that we are not this body. At least that much acceptance inside is necessary. And this is belongs to material nature, the body belongs to material nature. And material nature is making this body to grow, not us. We are not allowed, we are thinking that we are making the body to grow. But actually, material nature is doing its duty. Because whether we like it or not, body will grow, isn't it? That shows that we have no control over the body. And what happens inside the body, I do not know. I do not know what is happening inside the body, how everything is happening. Modern science also doesn't know. It is an amazing thing, this thing called body. And if not, if it was otherwise, the medical science should have been perfect, isn't it? But medical science is not perfect. Many, many things, if you speak to the doctors or to the scientists, they will also tell you that they also have very little knowledge of this body, how it works. Many instances, you can see in the modern medicine, as soon as there is problem, all that they can do is to give you painkillers and tell you, take the painkillers. And nothing else. They don't know why it's originated, what's happened. So, in the same way, sages are telling us, they're not saying that don't look after the body, but I'm not this body. And give your attention to that thing, what you are realizing, which is different from the body. Yeah, I am this, I am that, I am, that understanding, which is different from the body. Body is always imperfect. It can never be perfect. That is why in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentioned this, isn't it? Nasado vidyate bhavo, na bhavo vidyate sada. Ubhayoravi drishtvandam stanayor tattvadarshibhi. That means, if you bring that verse in relationship with our body, you can immediately see that the sages have told us from the very beginning that nasado vidyate bhavo. It is in relationship with the soul and the body. Krishna is talking about this. We discussed this also at that time, isn't it? Nasado vidyate bhavo. What has got existence, it will always exist. What has no existence, it will never exist. And it is the body that Krishna is referring to. The Sat is the soul. Asat is the body. Sat is the soul. Asat is the body. Nasado vidyade bhavo. The Sat has got bhavam. It will exist. Na bhavo vidyade sada. Ubhayoravi drishtvandam stanayor tattvadarshibhi. Asat has no existence. Asat has no existence. Remember the early verse in the second chapter. All these verses must work inside us. Otherwise, we will never get that understanding. Krishna is stressing these points because of that. Nasado vidyade bhavo, na bhavo vidyade sada. And the learned sages, or tattvadarshibhi, one who has realized the truth, they have said, ubhayoravi drishtvandam, that these two things will always remain like that. Tvanayor tattvadarshibhi, tvanayor tattvadarshibhi. Tattvadarshis have concluded that from the very beginning, that what exists will always exist. That is the soul, and that's what we are. And when we identify with the body, which is temporary, it is abhavam, it is asat, and asat cannot exist. So that Krishna has spoken that before. So that, and you cannot, asat, you cannot make it perfect. It is not possible. Sat means always I am existing. That is Sat, isn't it? That is a proof of that Sat. The Sat aspect of Satya Chitta Anandam. The Sat aspect is this. What is that? I am always existing. That is Sat. The Chitta aspect is I am conscious of everything. That is the chit aspect. Anandam aspect is that when you are situated on that platform, freedom from the mind and senses and intelligence, which you are experiencing in the deep sleep, that is anandam. So all the three states of existence, Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, in all these three states, Satya Chitta Anandam is also present. Depending on which state of existence you are in, don't ignore the deep sleep state completely. We think that deep sleep is all ignorance. We constantly make this statement, deep sleep is all ignorance. That is not to be understood like that. If it is not simply to be written off, oh, I was so ignorant, I fell into such a deep sleep. Well, that was the state you had only some blissful experience. Isn't it? Satya Chitta Anandam. So, the chit potency is the consciousness of everything. I'm existing. That consciousness is this coming from the chit potency. And the sat potency is that I am. That consciousness. I am. Not the existence consciousness. I am existing. That thought is the coming from that sat potency. Sat is giving us this signal that I am existing. Chit is giving the signal I am conscious of everything. Anandam is the signal which we get from the deep sleep, is the chit anandam, satya chit and anandam, the three things of the relationship with the soul. So the sages who have studied our proper constitution, what we are, they are telling us, don't be absorbed completely with this body. Body is only a very small part of your total existence. In your total complete existence, the material body is only a small part. So that is where the mistake has happened in all of us, isn't it? We have completely ignored the chit potency, we have completely ignored the sat potency, and we have also ignored the ananda potency, which is coming from the soul. These are all in everyday life, Krishna is allowing us to go through. We don't need any shastram for this. Logically, Krishna is putting towards us, giving it to us. He says to us that I am existing, which is in the Jagrat state. I am conscious, very much conscious of my existence. I am there. I am living. And that does not go away. Even if I get my body cut or limbs lost or anything happens, that I, feeling of I, doesn't go away. Why? It's coming from that sat potency. Secondly, in the Jagrat state again, we are consciousness is there all the time, isn't it, of various things. And where did this consciousness come from? It came from the soul. So that is the chit potency. And in the deep sleep state, you are also experiencing the bliss. What is the nature of the soul? We have talked about this before many times, but I'll keep repeating this. Because we have already in our mind given up any idea about the deep sleep state. It is only in the deep sleep. Krishna is every night proving to us that in the deep sleep, without the help of the mind, without the help of the senses, without the help of the intelligence, without the help of the body, I have experienced happiness. We all are experiencing every night in the deep sleep state a happiness which you cannot replace with anything else. A happiness, a continuous happiness, while in that state, only in that state, a happiness that were undisturbed by anything else. So, Satya Chitta Anandam, the blissful nature of the soul, is always existing. But unfortunately, we put all our attention on this material body, which is nothing but a product of the material nature. And the result of all that is that we are suffering in this way. We are suffering in this way. Material body, mind, intelligence, false ego, all these things won't allow us. Krishna gives a name to this as that this existence, that anubhuti. Anubhuti means that practical realization inside. Krishna says there, inside that anubhuti, that experience should grow. Inside that anubhuti should grow. And externally, all these things should be separated. Which one? The mind, intelligence, manobuddhi, ahankaram, chittam. All these things is not me. If we constantly think in that way, one day we will also come to that understanding. This is why Shastram, when you study Shastram, you have to think in these directions. It is not an instruction that can be given to anyone. The guidelines that the Shastram is talking about, is only to tell us that the that this is the situation. Develop our thought power in that way, so that it will not it will become permanently existent. Manobuddhi hangara chittani naham naja shrotra jihve naja krana netre naja vyoma bhumir na tejo na vayu chidananda rupam shivoham shivoham. In other words, manas, mind, buddhi, ahangaram, chittam, none of this is me. This is one of the Prakarana Grantham. It says like that. Neither mind, nor intelligence, nor the false ego, chittam, none of this is me. Naja shrotra juhve, naja ghrana netre, nor the, any one of the five senses, eyes, ears, and shrotram, ears, jihva, the tongue, ghranam, the smell, netram, the eyes. Naja vyoma bhumir na tejo na vayu. Not any of the five material elements, earth, water, air, ether and fire. But what is my true nature? Chidananda rupam. I am always existing. Chitta anandam. Both. Blissful existence. That is my nature. Chidananda rupam. Shivoham, shivoham. I am all auspicious, all auspicious. All the great devotees, all the great jnanis, they are in this state all the time. They would not identify, they would not allow to identify with any of the other things. So you can see, we are not the five material elements, we are not the five senses of essential five senses, nor we are the subtle body, mind, intelligence, false ego. None of this is me. Naja prana samyo navai panjavayu nava satna dhadur nava panjagosham na vak panipadam na chopastavayu chidananda rupam shivoham shivoham. That I am not the pranan. Pranan is not me. All the five kinds of air that is circulating inside, isn't it? Pranopana, apanan, samanan, udanan, vyanan. The five air. Remember that? Five different kinds of air that is circulating within the body, which is a part of the pranan, pranapana, samana, upana, udana, vyanan. I am not one of them. Nava sapna dhadu, the sapna dhadu in the body, like the blood and the bone, the marrow and things like that. Nava panchakosham, the five is a sheath around the soul. Annamayam, pranamayam, manamayam, jnanamayam, anandamayam. None of them. Nava panibadam na chopastha payu, the five senses of action. The five senses of knowledge and five senses of action. Vaka, Pani, Padam, Upastam, Payu. They are the ones. These five different senses of action. I am none of that. Chidananda Rupam, Shivoham, Shivoham. My proper nature is blissful existence. That is me. So constantly taking your attention towards that is important. Every devotee or a jnani, he has to develop these thoughts inside. Only Shastram is there to tell us. Acharyas are teaching us. It is up to us to practically bring it out in our own life. It will not happen otherwise. And this has to be repeated in satsangam all the time. If it's not repeated, we will forget it. We'll go back to our body and start thinking and try to fix the body all the time. Our attention will be taken to the body. All the great Mahatmas, if you look, they were least bothered about their body. Even Prabhupada's case, if you look at it, you can see that. They were suggesting at the many times, oh, I'll bring this doctor, we'll get the best treatment in America, this, that and that. Prabhupada said, what is there? The body will go. There's no point in doing all these things to the body. As long as it is there, look after it to the extent what you can. But karmam is controlling the body, prarabdham is controlling the body. You cannot do very much about it. Nothing much can be done about that. We get panic about it as soon as something happens seriously and start thinking that, oh, if I had gone to that doctor, if I had gone to this consultant, that hospital, something could have done better. All this planning goes on inside. Why? Because completely forgotten. Chidananda rupam, shivoham, shivoham. My proper existence is I am soul, not this body. And it means not that something we repeat just in a casual way. No, this thought must build up inside. And that is the only way Krishna is saying that this shelter will happen. So the body, how to get this Shraddha, to shift that attention from body to the soul? This is the question. And that's why Upanishad statement, Asadoma Sadgamaya, Mrityoma Amrtam Gamaya. And also, somehow or the other, Tamasoma Jyotirgamaya, Asadoma Sadgamaya. All Upanishad statements are only repeating this again and again. Asadoma Sadgamaya. Asat, which is the body, from there, let the attention go into the soul, which is Sat. Asadoma Sadgamaya. Then, Tamasova Jyotirgamaya. The bodily concept of life is tamas, is darkness. From there, let it come to light, which is the knowledge of the soul. When the attention is shifted from the body to the soul, tamasova jyotirgamaya, it is coming from darkness to light. Mrityoma amrtam gamaya, mrityu or death is for the body. Again, let the attention move away from the body, amrtam gamaya, from mrityu, from death, let it come to deathlessness. Or, in other words, immortality. From mortality to immortality. All these things, Upanishad statements are there. So, and jadam or dead matter that does not know that it exists. Only we know we exist. But the mic doesn't know that it exists. And we also know that those who are conscious, or who had, there is a spirit soul inside the body, knows, is aware of his own existence and the existence of others as well. For dead matter, it cannot know that that is the nature of bodham. Bodham means consciousness is like that. Then, so just like Kevalanand Vasudev also. You see, if you look into Bhagavadam, these are the things in the Bhagavadam you should take note of. Simply do not go after the stories. Stories are there to make us understand in a little easier way. Otherwise, stories are not so the important thing. Stories are there, pastimes of Krishna are there, but through the pastimes something more is spoken. There, when Vasudev and Devaki, when Krishna appeared in the prison, there is prayers from Vasudev and there is prayers from Devaki, isn't it? In the Bhagavadam, if you look, you will see Vasudeva Uvacha, there is about 10 or 15 verses. And Devaki Uvacha, there is another 10 or 15 verses. So, at that point, Krishna, out of his mercy, when Vasudev was inside the prison, for a limited period of time, Krishna allowed him to be in the self-realized state. Up to that point, Vasudeva was not self-realized. This is one instance in the Bhagavadam you can see when Krishna has given self-realization to some devotees for a short period of time. Later on, Vasudeva lost it. That self-realization lost it. It stayed with him for some time and that allowed him to glorify Krishna. Because Vasudeva didn't know what to say. He was in a complete confusion when Krishna arrived in the prison house. That is when he started experiencing Krishna's presence there. And there, if you look at Vasudev's prayers to Krishna, you will see there, Vididosi Bhavan Sakshal Kevala Bhavananda Swarupam. It says like that there, Vididosi. That I am seeing you as though you are the one who is shining inside me. I am seeing you as you are shining inside me. He says. In other words, at that point of self-realization, Vasudev realizes that his soul has a strong connection with Krishna. That is self-realization. That our connection with Krishna, the super soul is Krishna and we are the soul. In other words, the soul and super soul is so closely linked together that for a very short period of time, he experienced Krishna inside him. That is why I said Vididosi, that I am seeing that within me. And this 10th canto, in the 3rd chapter, this is the verse 13. If you want to go back and look at it later, you can see there. That this, Vasudev's words, from nowhere, these words comes out from Vasudev's mouth. Factually, Vasudev and Devaki were in the prison, fully frightened of Kamsa. What Kamsa is going to do next. They knew that something is going to happen because Kamsa was getting the message from his advisors or his agents who were traveling around that soon Narada Maharshi has come and told him as well that soon Vishnu will appear and kill him. And this was already there. So Kamsa was becoming every day more alert about his own life. And they put, first thing he did was to put them in the prison, lock them up. And he has been very cruel to Devaki Devi, isn't it? Wanted to kill her and Vasudev. But somehow or the other, Yogamaya has sheltered them. And Yogamaya shelter, Krishna didn't, Kamsa didn't do that. So Kamsa has been at it for some time and he has put them in the prison and the guards were standing outside. And you can imagine, in that situation, will they be thinking about the soul and discussing about spiritual life? It can never happen. In the case of Vasudeva and Devaki also, it didn't happen. Normally people won't do when we are put into such awkward situation. But there, in these prayers, when Vasudeva started glorifying Krishna, straight away what comes out is this. The first verse itself, he says, Kevalana Bhavananda Swarupam. That Kevala Swarupam, that Swarupam, my real identity is with you, with Krishna. In other words, the soul's connection with the Krishna is so firm, only in self-realized state one will know that, one will understand that, or one will experience that. Vididosi, Bhavan Sakshal, it goes on experiencing. It is after that, Vasudev says to Devaki Devi, Devaki, I am experiencing something inside me, which I don't know what it is. And I am feeling extreme happiness inside. And Devaki is saying to Vasudev, I am not feeling that. So there you can see, only it was given to Vasudev first. It was then that Krishna moved from Vasudev's heart to Devaki's heart. At that time, Devaki also started experiencing. All this is to show to us that when connection with Krishna is established, this material existence and the thoughts of material life goes away from inside, we move on to the spiritual platform. This will not happen through mind, intelligence or senses. It's a completely different plane. All these things are happening to Vasudev and Devaki. So, so when he experienced that when Krishna started inside with that illumination inside, you do not see another sun to see that, because that itself is self-illumination, isn't it? Self-illuminating is Krishna inside the soul. So similarly, to know, this is in one particular instance it's work with Vasudev. What Shastram is telling us is that even without that knowledge or without Krishna personally coming and giving us, he is already his presence there, and the proof of that presence is that I am always experiencing my existence, consciousness or bodham, all the time that I am existing. This is due to Krishna's presence inside. So, and that bodham is a part of Krishna. And Vasudev says to him that it is your presence inside I am experiencing now. Why? It is due to the presence of that the mind, intelligence and the body, everything existing. It is only because he is existing inside, these things are existing for us. The mind, intelligence and the body. Otherwise, none of these things existing. See, we are able to identify with the body. It's also due to the presence of the soul. We are able to work through the mind, use the mind and work through that only due to presence of the soul. Again, intelligence is also working, functioning due to the presence of the soul. If you remove that from inside, Vasudeva says to Krishna, I have no experience of this world. The world doesn't exist for me. So, after some time, it disappeared. After some time, it will disappear. That sometimes, some people write books also. And when you read their writings, you may think that they have complete self-realization. But when you see them afterwards, you will find that they have no such realization. This is a, what they call it as a spasmodic experience, a temporary experience. And for only for a short time, you get an opportunity to go and see the truth and come back from that. That means that you have gone there without being properly qualified. Vasudeva's case, that's what has happened. Krishna's mercy it was. Due to Kripa, due to the mercy from Krishna, once in a way, sometimes you get that opportunity to go and experience that, and then you have to come back from that. You are not allowed to stay like that. That is one way of self-realization. This happens. That happens due to Kripa. Why it's done like that is, it gives an impetus to the person that does exist another state of existence. Just like you go to a place without passport and visa, then you are thrown out from there, isn't it? So similar situation like that. In order to get there through the right channel, that is where all the other qualifications required for self-realization is spoken. What is that? Control of the mind, control of the senses, tolerance to other things in world, tiriksha, uparadi, shraddha, samadhanam, all these things are in relationship with the inquiry. Because why these are required? Because only through that a nishta will develop inside. Nishta means a steadiness in life. And then Krishna appears in front of us. And at the moment, we have not developed that qualifications for self-realization. That is what Krishna is saying here. That one person once asked this question, that Shiva and Shakti, or Krishna and Radharani, is present in everyone, isn't it? Krishna is present in us in the form of Sat, existence, and Ananda. Radharani is present in the form of Chit, inside us. These are all the aspects of the Lord present in us, all of us. We have this presence in us, their presence. So, somebody asked the question, God is he or she, isn't it? God is he or she. This argument has been going on all the time. People are discussing this. So the answer was given, She exists only through he. Because if you take the word she, he is already there inside, isn't it? So he and she cannot exist separately. In she, he is there. But he, this presence of she and he, without she, there is no he. And without he, there is no she. So the answer is there itself. Without she, there is no he. Without he, there is no she. They exist together. That is what we call as the Sat and Chit presence inside. So, that some devotees who are followers of Lord Shiva, their questions about Shaivites particularly, they see that Lord Shiva and Sri Parvati, their existence. So the famous song about that, Saundarya Lahari, you will see in the words, Shiva Shaktiya Yukto Bhavati, that Shiva and Shakti, or Shiva and Sri Parvati, they exist together. They exist together. So existence is not possible one without the other. Krishna and Radharani also in the same way exist together. You cannot separate them at any time. So, we are coming back to this verses in the 55th verse here now, that we were talking about it, that Prajahadi yada kaman sarvan parthamano gadan atmanyo atmana tushta stida prajna stadochyate. In answer to that, Krishna says here, in vivaharam dukheshu anidvigna mana sukheshu vigadaspraha vidaragha bhaya krotham stidadhir muni uchyate. And in the next verse also, ya sarvatra abhisnehas tattat prapi shubhashubham Nabhi Nandadi Nadveshti Tasya Pratya Pratishtita. Now you will see from here three or four verses Krishna talking about Tasya Pratya Pratishtita. 58 also, Yada Samharade Jayam Kurmongani Vasarvasha Indriyan Indriyarthebhya Tasya Pratya Pratishtita. വിഷയാ വിനിവർത്തന്തെ നിരാഹാരസ്യ ദേഹിന രസവർജം രസോപ്യസ്യ പരം ദൃഷ്ട്വ നിവർത്തതെ. സോ വെൻ വി ലുക്ക് അറ്റ് ഭഗവത്ഗീത, സോ കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് സെയിങ് ഹിയർ ദാറ്റ് ദി മൈൻഡ് ഈസ് ദ പ്രോബ്ലം. That is that that verse is coming to, isn't it? If you look into verse 56, Krishna is saying, Dukheshu anudvigna manaha, sugheshu vigadaspraha, vidaraga bhaya krotham sthidadhir muniruchyate. The translation, one who is not disturbed in mind, even amidst the threefold miseries, or elated when there is happiness, and who is free from attachment, fear and anger, is called a sage of steady mind. Krishna is saying there. That, so, what is that steadiness of the mind Krishna is talking about? Dukheshu anidvignamana sukheshu vigadaspraha. See, in the case of the body, that what is happening is that the mind does not allow us to take our attention away from the body. Mind does not allow us to do that. Why? Chitavritti builds up inside, and as he said before, Dukheshu anudvignamana, that mind gets disturbed as soon as there is distress in this life, isn't it? Sukheshu vigadaspraha. Similarly, when happiness also, mind starts wavering. The mind moves immediately. So it creates a lot of sankalpam or bhavana inside. Sankalpa means different illusions it develops inside, isn't it? When there is distress in the form of fear and in the form of illusion, a lot of thoughts starts flowing inside. That is the first symptom of a dukkham, distress. Lots of thoughts keep, as so if you observe your own mind, you can see, even when there is a slight danger or a fear, what happens? Continuously thoughts start coming inside. Isn't it? One after the other. What will happen if this happens? And what should I do when in order to counteract that? In this way, mind starts immediately. Mind gets very strong at that point. As soon as there is some serious distress or fear develops in life. Isn't it? That's our own experience. Suppose we got into a... Just to give an example. As soon as you had an accident on the road, immediately what do you think? Immediately you think, what has happened now? What should I do? Isn't it? And continuous flow of thoughts coming one after the other. That is the very nature of the mind. Similarly, any danger or suddenly somebody die at home, there is a death happens at home, immediately your mind is working in that way, that thoughts are coming one after the other. Nobody is inviting those thoughts to come. They come on its own. That is what Krishna is saying here. Dukheshu anudvignamana. When the thoughts are continuously flowing like that, that udvegam, it creates udvegam or anxiety inside. Anxiety inside. Now, that anxiety what you experience is in such emergencies, Krishna says, when does not happen to a person who is in the steady state of intelligence or sthidapranya. Sthidapranya's first quality, Krishna says, is like that. Dukkeshu anudvignamana. That udvegam or the anxiety will not manifest in a person who is... This will only happen if you have gone out of the body. In the bodily concept, this will definitely happen. Krishna is saying, one who has come to sthidapratnya state, what you can notice in him first thing will be dukkeshu anudvignamana. He will not get disturbed or he will not... Anxiety will not capture him. At a time when a crisis develops in his... Crisis means in relationship with the body, Krishna is talking about. In relationship with the body, if there is a problem in the form of the bodily problems or the external surroundings, if anything happens, so many things can trigger this in life, isn't it? You get into anxiety in different states, in different ways. All those things are a symptom of lack of the realization of the truth. That's what Krishna is saying. Sthidapratnyatvam is tested in this way, Krishna says. When Arjuna asked, how does he walk, how does he sleep and all that, Krishna's answer is like this. Dukeshu anudvignamana. That by external symptoms, when you observe him, you will see that he will not have any anxiety in him. Sukheshu vigadaspraha. On the other hand, that the mind is, chitavritti is completely going on inside, and it creates a lot of thoughts inside. We have only two existences at that time. Either we are thinking deeply or we fall into sleep. And that is our normal experience also. Say we are discussing about the soul a lot of discussion about the soul goes on. Whatever others have spoken about the soul, this and that. So long as you can capture it with the mind, you will listen. You will listen to it as long as you can capture it with the mind. As soon as the mind is not able to capture the discussion or capture the thoughts behind it, it will go into the sleep mode. Isn't it? It goes into the sleep mode. Already you can see, we have started yawning. Why is yawning coming? Because you're not capturing that message, is not going in. Why? So powerful is the mind inside that it will not allow you even to for a second to come to the spiritual platform and to think in terms of the spirit soul. And that is to show that the mind has got only these two modes. Either you will keep on listening, and when you think that everything your mind is absorbing, you will accept it and you will, some mental thought process will work. The moment the mind feels it cannot capture, because everything is so abstract with the soul, isn't it? For the mind it is abstract, not for the soul. For the mind it is abstract. This is why it said that with the mind don't try to capture anything. All these Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, don't try to capture with the mind. As soon as you allow the mind to happen, the mind will do this. And if the mind cannot do it, it will go to the sleeping mode. It will fall into sleep straight away. So, talking in satsangam also, whenever we discuss about the soul, that we will not know that there is one complete perfect thing inside, outside this mind. Separately from the mind exists, there is some purna vastu, a complete perfect thing inside. You see, in Upanishads and Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam all, the discussion is all about this purna vastu. Ishopanishad, if you take, the first verse itself is about that complete thing inside, isn't it? Only the complete thing is taken into account, not the mind and intelligence. Mind and intelligence is not given any value for it. That's why the first verse, Purnamadam, Purnamidam, Purnad, Purnam, Samuch, Udachyade, Purnasyam, Purnam, Adaya, Purnam, Eva, Avashishyade. See that? How soul is given such a high position, high value by the sages. Ishopanishad is one of the 10 major Upanishads, isn't it? And in that Ishopanishad, the first verse itself is Purnamadam, Purnamidam. It's always Purnam. Purnam means complete. It doesn't require anything. And Purnal Purnam, among the perfect ones, it is the most perfect one. And Purnasya, it is such a Purnam, it is so complete it is. If you take anything out of it is still Purnam. Purnasyam Purnamadaya Purnam Eva Avashishyade. What remains is also Purnam. So soul, under no circumstances, is imperfect. It is in perfect state, all the time perfect. And that's the only thing that is perfect in this whole creation, or whatever you call it. What is that exists? It's only the soul that is perfect. Everything else is imperfect. So, this understanding that the perfection of the soul, that mind cannot capture that, because it's a perfect thing. Mind cannot capture that thing. So that is why when the mind subdued, when the mind surrenders completely, the soul will start functioning. At the moment, we don't allow the soul to function. We stop it with this mind. Mind, on a mental platform, we are working. So, when the mind woke up, and wherever it has woken up from, it has woken up from false ego, isn't it? From false ego, the mind has come. And the false ego, when the false ego surrenders, when the false ego goes away, when the false ego surrenders to Krishna, at that point, immediately, the soul will activate. So that is why it is said like this, that if you never inquire about the mind, what is this thing called mind, it will never come to a it will never surrender. It will never surrender if you don't inquire about it. Suppose you think, I'm thinking that I'll continue my sadhana, let the mind go on its own, whatever happens, what can we do? We don't know what it is, and it's so unknown entity, isn't it? Mind and false ego. If you don't inquire about it, it will never surrender. But if you put some brake on it, that one day it will surrender. And that the only way you can put that brake on the mind or the false ego is only through analysis of these things. If you take that seriously and hand over this mind, devotees, what do? They hand over the mind to Krishna. They hand over the mind to Krishna. Jnanis, what they do? Through knowledge and realization, they tell the mind. They don't pat the mind anymore. They don't try to allow the mind to grow. Through control. Mind has got, as I mentioned before, strong connection with the food also. Food allows the mind to grow very strongly. Depending, that's why people with very gross habits of eating, when I say gross habits, means who are very fond of highly rich food and who likes to develop their body and the senses, everything very strong, always trying to keep like that, you will see them very dull as far as spirituality is concerned. It's difficult. Because only thing what will happen to them is the mind has grown so big inside. Apart from the body. Body itself is very strong and big. Plus added to that, the mind inside also has become very powerful. Powerful mind. Powerful mind means that as soon as any spiritual understanding is difficult to get in. Because mind is a very powerful entity. So acharyas are saying this, that this is like a monkey. This thing called mind is like a monkey. If you hand over the mind to Krishna, so Ayari Swamiji says like this, that that Lord Shiva is fond of this bhiksha, isn't it? He go begging for alms. That is one of the things associated with Lord Shiva. That in his he has got this skull as the begging bowl. He moves around. So Ayari Swami says to Lord Shiva that you are begging, but when you are going to beg, it is nice if you have something with you. You can use this. A monkey I'll hand over to you. Take this monkey with you and play with this monkey, and people will give you more bhiksha in that way, the food. So this is a statement mentioned like that, that this nature of the mind, they are discussing this all the time. They are saying here that this monkey has got, suppose a monkey got bitten by a scorpion, what will happen? The monkey in pain will run, isn't it? He'll be doing all sorts of things if it's bitten by a scorpion. Added to that, if it gets drunk, what will happen? If it gets drunk, both things are happening same time. We also have the same problem. The lust is considered to be like the thing like the scorpion's bite, the lust inside. The anger is the thing compared to what is known as the intoxication inside. So lust and anger together, they have bitten us. In the just like the way a monkey is bitten by the scorpion and the alcohol, intoxications. So in this way, they explain this, explain about the nature of the mind, and the devotees say that, I'm handing over this mind to you. You can do whatever you like with it. All emotions what we experience is a part of this mind. Do not forget that point. Sometimes if we feel various kinds of emotions, isn't it? Excitement. Sometimes we feel happy. Sometimes we feel distressed. Sometimes we feel angry. Sometimes we feel greedy. Lust, anger, kamam, krodham, bhayam, fear, lobham, greed, moham, delusion, madam, pride, and matsaryam, to compete with other. These are all the different emotions which is originating from the mind. So mind is such a thing, difficult to, all it generates all these kind of things, all these different kinds of emotions inside. And it is that mind we are trying to fight with. And fighting with the mind will not work. If you think you can control, just like Maya and the mind, both are equally powerful. If you surrender to the mind, the only thing what you can do, is to hand over it to Krishna. But fighting with the mind will not work, because mind is such a powerful thing, it will come from some other way and it will put us into difficulties. So, dukkheshu anidvigna mana, sukheshu vigadaspraha. Krishna is saying there that one who has freed himself from this great powerful enemy, mind, he will not feel distracted or disturbed over anything, any dukkham or distress that is coming to him. Anudvigna mana, udvegam or anxiety will not be there in him. And similarly, we should not think that only when distress comes you should be able to get over the mind. No. Sukheshu vigadaspraha. Even when happiness comes, say suddenly a great happiness, for example, when we are in the material consciousness, so many things can give us happiness also, isn't it? That say you win a lottery, a huge amount of money, and then you are thinking, oh, now my life is all perfect. It's from now on I can plan my life properly. I don't have to go to work tomorrow. And a lot of plans for sense enjoyment after that, isn't it? Sukheshu vigadaspraha. Krishna says, when that happens also, if your mind is not moving, then you are in the steady state. But that's very, it both are equally difficult, isn't it? When distress comes, how the mind gets affected. When the happiness comes, how the mind gets affected. Both are equally, one has to observe. Krishna is saying like that. Once it so happened that one sadhana, one who is performing sadhana in spiritual life, he goes to spiritual master and says to him, he has been crying and says to him, whatever I do, my mind is not coming under control. Mind is unable to control. And so, spiritual master understood the problem, that he is not able to separate the mind from himself. He is not able to separate the mind from himself. So what he did was that he took some water and put it on him and said to him that, sprinkled it on him and said to him, told him that you say to, tell me now that you have handed over the mind to me. He wanted to give him a sort of a ritual-like thing. Says to him that hand over the mind to me. If you have handed over the mind to me, it will not disturb you anymore. The spiritual master says to him. So he did that. He says, all right, I handed over the mind to you. And it is not happening again. The same problem has come back again. So at that time he went back to him and says to him that my mind is disturbing me again. So the spiritual master told him, that means you have not handed over the mind to me. I've told you to hand it over to me, which you said you did. But if you handed it over, why should you worry about it? Said, mind, you have to remind all the time that when it is with you, only then it disturbs you. If the mind is not there, it doesn't disturb you. If you have learned to identify with the soul rather than with the mind, it will go away after a while. That even if you are handed over to Krishna, it will disturb you for some time. But material distress will not come in a large scale. Because when something becomes ours, when you think it's mine, only then the distress comes, isn't it? Others' distress, when you see, you will also feel some distress. But it will not be as much as when it happens to you personally, isn't it? If you continuously think that I'm handing over my mind to Krishna, all the devotees have done this. They handed over the mind to Krishna. If you handed over the mind to Krishna, then that disturbance cannot come to us. Personally, it cannot happen. And like a tablet, you have to keep on think in this way, that I am handing over everything to Krishna. Krishna is looking after everything. My mind is in Krishna's control. It should not remain as a theoretical statement. In other words, it should be constantly thought about, that mind is Krishna's, body is Krishna's. Isn't it? If you remember in the 7th canto of the Bhagavadam, we have spoken about this. Dravyadvaidam, Bhavadvaidam, Kriyadvaidam. Three things are spoken there, isn't it? Dravyadvaidam, in order to free ourselves from possessiveness in this world, not to think that everything belongs to us, everything we should think as belongs to Krishna. That is Dravyadvaidam. Kriyadvaidam is that whenever any activities are happening through this body and the mind, if we think that it is Krishna who is doing all these things through this body and the mind, it is called Kriyadvaidam. Bhavadvaidam is the last one, that what exists is only Krishna, nothing else. That in everything what is happening in this world, it is all in Krishna's hands, not in our hands. In that way, little by little, that possessiveness and identity with the body will go away from us. So, Sri Narada Maharshi says this to Yudhishthira. In the 7th canto, if you look, you will see there, Dravyadvaidam, Bhavadvaidam, Kriyadvaidam. 3 things spoken there in order to break away from the influence of the mind. Influence of the mind. So, so it is not good enough that, you see, it is the same principle what comes in Karma Yoga. That's what it is all about. It's the same thing in the Bhagavata Dharma when the Navayogis spoke about this to Nimi. Kayena vacha manasendriyerva buddhyalpanava prakrite svabhava. Kaya means shariram. Kayena vacha, by words. Kayena manasa, manasa mind. Indriyam, senses. Buddhi, intelligence. Whatever it is doing, buddhyal prakrite svabhaval, that prakrite svabhava, by svabhavam, by our nature, we are doing different things. But if you offered your mind to Krishna, all these things to Krishna, karodi adyad sagalam parasmai, Krishna is doing after that everything what is happening. It's no more my responsibility or our responsibility. That shifting, or in other words, when it is under the control of the ego, it creates suffering. When all these things, mind and intelligence and everything, when it is under our ego, control of our ego, then we have to suffer. Then we have to suffer. So, somehow or the other, if this thoughts and consciousness must develop, should develop inside, if it doesn't develop, then even if we do a lot of sadhana, still the change may not happen as it should happen quickly. So, when it is under the control of the self, it will subside. In other words, as long as we are thinking in terms of my ahankara, my false ego, I am doing this, I am doing that, and mind intelligence and all these things are functioning under the guidance of the false ego inside, we will suffer. When everything is controlled by the soul inside, it becomes subside. It subsides all these different things. Under the control of the false ego, it will constantly disturb us. And under the control of the self, very quickly, peace will happen within. Very quickly, peace will happen within. These are the subtle side of our existence, the subtleties of that. So, whenever disturbance comes in life, in our daily life, immediately, if one goes back into this understanding that it is the mind and the intelligence that is causing this problem under the guidance of the false ego, because from false ego, they are being driven by the false ego. When it is driven by soul, from inside, from Krishna, from the Atma, it will subside straight away. That's all. So, Prajahadi, Krishna said like that. Listen, Prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partha manodhana manogadan. So, first thing, give up the mind. Krishna is saying like that, throw away the mind. In order to give up these desires inside, Krishna says that one first one, that after you got into distress for many, many, keep on distressing in this life, feeling distress about this life, and eventually, after feeling this distress in this life for a very long period of time, eventually the conditioned soul, Jiva, will understand that as much as he is desiring, it all ends up in distress. This will come to him. This insight will come to him. And that is that is a very natural way of achieving this yoga system. This reaching that state of yoga. Reaching the state of yoga. That means we have gone through a lot of distress in this world, a lot of distress in this life, material world. And after that, It has given us this realization, there is no happiness to look forward to in this world. We'll come to that conclusion. But that can happen only after a lot of distress, in experiencing a lot of distress in this world. And that is the natural way of becoming, coming to the state of yoga. And immediately you will withdraw yourself from the, as you see that there is more and more distress that is being experienced, immediately we will learn to withdraw from everything. And that is one state of yoga prapti. But to reach that state, still you require satsangam. Otherwise, what will happen is, if you do not fall into satsangam, you will commit suicide. That is the next option. Many instances, what happens is, continuously we are experiencing distress in life. And if at that point, if you get the opportunity to come to satsangam and hear about our this knowledge of the self from the shastram, the possibility that you will turn into yoga direction, into the yoga system. If you do not hear about the glories of the soul, about our identity and the knowledge that is associated, our direction will be towards the giving up life. So, when you understand that, the every distress that is coming to us, and when you start little by little analyzing this insight, you'll come to know that this distress is experienced by the mind. Distress is experienced by the mind, not by the soul. And it is at that point you will throw the mind away. It is not possible to pat the mind anymore, because all the mind is giving to me is unhappiness and misery from this world. So when it comes to that understanding, if it is in satsangam, that person will see the harm what the mind is doing to me, and I will, the immediate active action from my side will be, I will try to distance myself from the mind and throw the mind away. Because that will only happen in the satsangam. If it is not in the satsangam, what will happen is that when it overpowers the mind, we lose that control on ourselves, and we will be affected by the mind to such an extent that mind will drive us into some wrong decisions, false decisions. And this is how, in many instances, if you look, people who have committed suicide and all that, you can see they have lost, they didn't have any knowledge of the soul. They had no idea about it. And then they were completely affected by the material distress. When it came so powerful, they couldn't do anything about it. So this naturally, they give up the mind. And in other words, internally, there is a detachment develops inside, distancing from the mind. So at that point, you can see, we as individuals are able to separate from the mind when we want it. But it only happens through a very painful process. Very painful process. When all the distress comes and misery comes, then eventually we withdraw from the mind and we distance ourselves from the mind, allow the mind to go, and we go in our way. This is the way the system works. Inside, detachment comes. The second way, this is one way. This is the one way. Second way is this, that through sadhana. Through sadhana. How does sadhana help? Said, that while developing sadhana, sadhana just does not mean that only chanting the holy name. That's not the only sadhana. Sadhana means through the process of studying shastram, you start little by little realizing that this whole creation is nothing but a manifestation of Maya. Maya's manifestation itself. That in there, Maya Devi, her energy is working in this direction. That material existence, everything what you see here. So these two possibilities are there. One, through satsangam, you associate, and all the miseries have come in life, and we have learned that miseries are experienced by the mind, not by me, the person. So that understanding, in that way, separate the soul from the mind and slowly move away from the mental platform to the spiritual platform. That is one possibility, yoga anubhuti. The second possibility is that while executing sadhana, sadhana process. If you study Srimad Bhagavatam, that is a sadhana. Studying Srimad Bhagavatam is a sadhana. And while studying Bhagavatam, when Sudeva Goswami talks about certain things, particularly in relationship with this creation, you will notice in the fifth canto, he says to Parikshit Maharaj, "My dear Parikshit, you have asked me a question to describe Bhugola Varnana." If you take that fifth canto is important because of this. That the Bhugola Varnana aspect, Bhugola Varnana means a description of the whole universe, he is asking there, isn't it? Parikshit Maharaj asked Sudeva Goswami, "Can you describe to me about this whole universe, the creation?" He's asking. It's called description of the universe, I think. That is how it is written in the Bhagavatam. So that description, why did he ask that question? And if you see the reply from Sudeva Goswami says there in reply to him, "I can describe this to you, but remember that this is Maya, which is a vibhuti of Krishna. And this cannot be described properly because it's constantly changing. This creation itself is constantly changing. And inside, it manifests as the mind. Outside, it manifests as the world. Outside, this Maya, material energy, inside us, it manifests as the mind. And outside us, manifests as the external world." Sudeva Goswami says to Parikshit, "If you understand this, both of this have come from the soul. Both of this has come from the soul. And if we keep this in mind and then study the creation," he says that "all these things, what has come from out, what is seen outside, as well as what you are seeing inside, their origin is the soul. First, it comes out as in the form of mind. And then it develops into the dream state, isn't it? So the dream state is coming from the mind actually. Mind is the cause of the dream state. If there is no mind, there is no dream state. That's why you can see when you look at your own body, in the Jagrat state, there is a possibility of developing some spiritual knowledge. Why? Chit potency is there, is helping you. Because your awareness is there of consciousness. But as soon as we move into the dream state, the only thing that is active there at that point is the mind. Mind. It is the play field for the mind, this dream state. Dream state is just the play field for the mind, playing field for the mind. And in Jagrat state, all sorts of experiences, isn't it? Different people, different forms, different names, different objects, all kinds of sense gratification, they will all come forward. They will all come up very strongly. And this mind, which is not much different from the soul, it takes birth in the soul and eventually dies inside the soul. It's not separate from the soul. It is one of the, we shouldn't think that any time mind is separate from the soul. It is the soul's, one of the potencies is this mind. It takes birth. The background is the soul. It is in the soul this mind pops up. And it is in the soul then the mind eventually dies. Mind eventually goes back into the soul. It's a lot more things. We'll discuss it tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.